Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, a story of people's encounters with universal energy and the inner energetic and physical components of life, learning to use this energy and information to manifest a true awareness and reality of self, others, and the universe. I am delighted to welcome Phyllis King, author of The Energy of Abundance, Practical Advice and Spiritual Wisdom to Achieve Anything You Want in Life. Hello, Phyllis, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
You know, Phyllis, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I search within our own psyche and soul remembrances, experiences that allow us to rediscover what we have intuitively known since birth, but may have forgotten or been forced to forget as we grew older, that we are spiritual beings having a physical life and have the personal power within to create our most prosperous and joyful life experience, which is not merely reliant on the outside world and influences by others. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Phyllis King, a common sense psychic and comedian who has mentored and advised individuals, businesses, and audiences, will help you find ways to achieve abundance in every aspect of life, from relationships to income, peace of mind to emotional health, as we master the universal laws of energy and play the energy game for success and for well-being. I always, Phyllis, like to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember an incident, person, or event that showed them something about their own uniqueness, or maybe their life purpose, or any interest that may have led them to the work and lifestyle they enjoy now.
Sure, and thank you. The turning point for me was when I was 19, and this is after 19 years worth of experiences of the intangible becoming tangible, but I didn't really pay that much attention to. But a friend of mine who had passed away in a car accident showed up in my house looking like a person, with the exception that he was enshrouded in this beautiful pink color. And in that moment, I was terrified, but at the same time, an awareness was placed inside of me that life didn't end with the body. And it was more than an awareness, it was a knowing, like you know your name. And suddenly I knew something that I couldn't unknow. And that particular piece of information brought me incredible peace and gave me a voracious appetite for spiritual information. And I wanted to understand, number one, why I was having these experiences, what I was supposed to do with it, you know, two, what it meant in the context of life or God or religion or the life I'd been raised in, and then third and finally, what am I going to do about it?
That's where it always begins, with an experience mm-hmm. that cannot be blown away with the wind. It's a mm-hmm. heightened awareness and a truth. Now, as a child, I was a sensitive child, and I was aware of what others may not have been aware of. And, of course, they would always say, when I would say something that was advanced or ahead of myself, oh, she's just a sensitive child, and, you know, she'll outgrow this. And, you
right.
know, really what I was responding to was to the emotions and the feelings other people had in the physical mm-hmm. sense and in the spiritual sense. And I couldn't mm-hmm. be deterred from my knowingness either. And mm-hmm. so some of us present as a bit of a rebel, or sometimes we just cry to catch other people's attention because they're not paying attention, and that grabs them pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So tell us about energy and what is the energy game. I often say to people, you really can't live this life to the best of your ability unless you understand the rules of this game. And the rules mm-hmm. of this game okay. have to do with knowing who we are as energy beings and understanding mm-hmm. energy. So please tell mm-hmm. us about that.
Well, I use energy game as a way to describe how people can interact in life to have more benevolent outcomes. And so some ways, sometimes it's easier than to explain, well, I'm a psychic or I'm this or I'm that, to just talk about it in terms of energy. So when I talk about anger being really thick and concentrated or generosity being really thin and fast moving, people can kind of wrap their heads around that. And most people can wrap their heads around the idea that everything is energy, that we're in this fluid universe that it's creating at all times. And then pair that with the law of attraction, if you will, where you're getting in front of the momentum, so that you really take ownership for being a creative and powerful being. And when you intentionally embody those frequencies that you want to experience as if they were now, even if they haven't shown up yet, that you will indeed meet up with those experiences at some point in the near future or the far off future. And so I talk about various examples in the books of how to play the energy game in different methods. But that's essentially it, that we are energy and we can do it on purpose and influence matter.
Yes, and you also say a consciousness itself is what creates energy. So our thoughts and our awareness are what create these emotions that are, mm-hmm. every thought is a form of energy. And mm-hmm. You mentioned Dave Watson, who says energy is a property or characteristic of matter that makes mm-hmm. things happen or has the potential to make things happen. So everything mm-hmm. we think, every expression, every yeah. emotion has mm-hmm. the possibility for creating either mm-hmm. what we want or what we don't want. Now, you talk about the energy game and say there is a spectrum. Can you tell us what's on one end when we have sure. apathy, boredom, and depression, and what's on the other end when we discover mm-hmm. happiness, enthusiasm, mm-hmm. and joy? Explain how that works.
Well, of course, and when we're creating, we can create from any end of the spectrum. On that end, that first end you described, the apathy, boredom, and depression, those are thick, low-level, more concentrated, dense frequencies. And so when you're creating from that place, you're going to have outcomes that don't necessarily feel as great as you would like, or if you're mixing up a lot of that in your creative process. And then on the other end of the polarity, where the vibrations are faster and there's more space, it's just going to feel better. That's all there is to it. That's the energetic reality of vibrations and frequencies. And so if they pay attention to what we're creating, what we're bathing in, the language we're using, the feelings we're consuming, it definitely makes a difference in our outcomes.
You know, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Dr. Wayne Dyer passed this week.
Oh, yes.
And I remember reading that he said he never had a day when he wasn't feeling good. In other words, he made it his business to be in that higher vibration. He had a very challenging childhood, a very yes. difficult childhood, but he wished to remember the things that made him feel positive, joyful, and to stay in that energy as much as possible. Now, we all know negative thoughts come in 50% of the time on any given day. It's just that we don't have to engage it. We have to learn to embrace what it is that will create what's good for us and to feel all the emotions and then to find what it is that we're most, that serves us in the best way. So now this book suggests that, and I believe this also, that everyone can have everything. I don't mean in terms of having a red car or a trip to Japan tomorrow, you know, I mean, little things. They can have everything, really have it all. And how can we explain how we create abundance?
Well, you stated it earlier, that the first step is recognizing that consciousness itself is what creates energy, and energy creates the tangible outcome. So it's not about going after the outcome necessarily, not even though it can be at moments. It's about nurturing the consciousness itself to make the consciousness abundant at all times. And that requires a lot of inner work. It requires looking at how you create. That's the number one piece. And then on the common sense side, on the human side, yes, we can have everything. Perhaps we can't have everything all at once. Can you be a full-time mom and travel the world all at the same time? Not likely, you know, unless you're Angelina Jolie and have five nannies and huge resources. But if we find that first place of knowing ourselves, of personal introspection and understanding how we create, then all we have to do is put our attention on that which gives us meaning, what we have value. Okay, that red car gives me value. And then it's easy to manifest that thing or to draw that into our circumstance because it has value to me, not because my neighbor has one or because culture tells me I need to drive one, but because it matters to me. And so that relationship between ourselves, consciousness, and how we set intention is everything about how to have anything you want.
Yeah, and we want to be in that flow of divine wisdom, as you say, and listen and respond to the inner voice while we behave in an open position, a realistic and practical way to do good for ourselves and to do good for others. And I think that is the way we come around the maze of conditioning or the fears that we have absorbed since we're children living in a physical world, and allow ourselves to let go of many of the illusions or fearful limitations that we may have adopted at one point in our life that we no longer need anymore. So let's go on to the three questions people need to ask themselves to expand their lives. What do they need to sort of start thinking about?
Well, it's basically, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
What's lasting and real? And where does happiness come from? Because when you think about who you are, your divine consciousness, you're godlike. And when you see yourself in that connected form, it's pretty difficult to do anything against consciousness. You want to be a contributor. And the same thing, when you think about what's lasting and real, it's not the stuff. It's love. It's happiness. It's sharing with those, sharing what you have with others, if you will. It's those types of thoughts. And, you know, what is lasting and real? The only thing that's lasting is real is love and connection. And so when you filter your questions or your problems through that those types of questioning, then you're always going to come out from an abundant perspective and something that will bring you lasting and permanent happiness.
Oh, so beautifully and well said. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For that. And let's go on to realize also that when you realize the unseen world of energy versus the physical world of matter, that's part of being able to know the truth about who we are, where we come from, and our infinite source of eternal life, so to put it. How does this book work to help people with their money, love, or career? Because it's all the same. Once you have this awareness, this principle at work within you, and you're aligned to this source or this eternal force of life, it will all work. So,
well, I think in my book I emphasize relationships, relationship to consciousness, relationship to the divine, whatever your word is for the intelligence that gave us life, that when you develop the relationship with yourself and you develop the relationship with consciousness and you begin to understand the exchange process, everything else becomes easier. And the foundation of that exchange process is trust, not hope, not even belief, but it's really trust. So, for instance, if you have a friend that you've had lunch with for the last 5 years on Tuesdays and they show up every Tuesday for lunch, you trust that friend will show up. It's no different with consciousness, that we actually have to put in the time and develop the language and the relationship so that we know when we put A in, B comes out. And once you understand that formula for yourself, then everything else comes easier. And so I describe my formula in the book, and especially around money, because that's been my hot button issue throughout my life, how to create money. It's really quite an adventure and fun, and you can relax into the creative process of life. It doesn't have to be riddled with fear or worry or is there not going to be enough. You can actually enjoy your cycles in your life.
Yes, and you wrote about this consciousness and destiny. May I read this? I think it explains
Sure, thank
a
you.
bit of the deeper idea that you're trying to express here. Destiny, as we may think of it, even the one we create for ourselves, is fluid. We can create, adjust, and recreate circumstances based upon new information, just like in the human experience. This represents how free will always remains constant. We may hold a position or point of views about some subject, and then we learn something new and change our position. We can do that spiritually as well. We have permission to do what feels right. More than any other idea related to birth, the concept of continuum brings more of an expanded perspective than any other. When we recognize we are in a collaborative process with a consciousness that is a constant, loving support toward the greater good of the individual and the collective, we don't have to take the human experience quite so seriously. And I think that's what so many of us really need to do, to step back and see the humor in our lives, the humor in ourselves, the humor in any difficult situation, even in every challenge, there is an opportunity for the minute to pass and for us to have a new view of ourselves and the world. So I think that was written, and that says it pretty well. We have an individual purpose and a collective purpose. Mm-hmm. And our nature is to expand and to heal and to become our best, most loving selves.
And now, I think thank you for sharing that, Cheryl. That was very nice. And I think the other piece to abundance and prosperity, what we're talking about here, is we tend to think it's just me. It's I want my pile of money. I want my red car. I want my whatever. But the more we can include others in our vision of why we want what we want or how it benefits others, the more abundance comes into us, and the more abundant everyone will be. It's really a shared experience. And the more we can get behind that idea, the easier things flow to us.
Yes, and you know, in the newspaper yesterday I read that the Pope has made so many changes. He is such a spiritual and modern-day man, actually, getting away from a lot of the tenets of the religious structure. And he said that all the dioceses in Europe should welcome the people who are being exiled from their countries in this time of trying, and to bring them into the community and help them adapt to a new life. And I found that fantastic because there's so many things going on in the world that are so horrific. He also said women who have had to have abortion should be forgiven and not excommunicated by their church. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be a new thought, and thinking of what's best for everybody. So it's happening.
Yes.
You see, these concepts are not only in our thoughts now. They're happening in real life, in real time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what are the three mistakes people sometimes make when it comes to having enough to satisfy and delight them? A couple of mistakes people make.
I would say attaching to the outcome. They get so focused on what they want, they forget to stay in the present moment and keeping their energy balanced and looking at the reasons they wanted the thing in the first place, that they think that the outcome defines them or gives them value or worth in some way. I would say also lack of commitment, which kind of goes hand in hand, but they forget that, you know, there's a gestation period to all creative processes, and being able to ride out that point of uncertainty before the manifestation, if you will, has occurred, that you still have to keep the energy present, keep that energy pattern in place. I think that's something that people will give up and fall back on or fall away from. And I would say another third thing is just, you know, this idea that there's a limited amount of some frequency to go around. There's not enough, or there's too much of this. I can't pursue this certain career or go after this certain person as a relationship. You know, who am I? Or there's too many of us. Or, you know, just sort of denying their own divine abundance while they're trying to create abundance.
Well, that's getting it back again to trust, the word you used earlier. Yeah, if you trust in the universe and that everything is happening in your life plan the way it is best suited for you to evolve and for your soul to refine itself, you won't have that fear. You won't think about not having enough. You will only accept, allow, and surrender to what's best and continue to smile, not take it too seriously, and be at peace with yourself. Isn't that what we all want? And it can be done, and it really can be done. How do people become aware of their life purpose and connect to possibly their own reason for being here on the planet at this time?
Well, I'm sure you know this and may have different language for it, but it's really about paying attention to what you love. And those things you do that make you feel like you. It doesn't even matter what it is, but you know when you show up that, and you contribute this certain thing, or that you're doing this certain activity or whatever it is, that's you. You just feel like you're in your element. And too often we're told that we can't have that, but that's really how we discover purpose. It's not hard to find. All we have to do is give it to ourselves.
To give what we love. And you wrote this. At the core of what I offer, I have always wanted to be of service to others. That's what you love. And it has always mattered to me to show up in an authentic manner and to make an interesting and safe place for others to land, regardless of any profession. So I concur. That is really what spirituality is all about. Mm-hmm. It is being able to investigate yourself, to know who you are, what makes you happiest in life. And I often tell you, you've had many careers, I believe. I often tell people I have had 6 careers, and I just loved them all, whether it was teaching. I did. They were all hard work, but I like hard work. Teaching, my own tag sale business, interior design and sales and management and Reiki energy healing and authoring several books. It's all been a blast because it all was about self-investigation and learning. And that's what we're really here to do. Learn what it is, as you said, learn what it is we love and just explore it. It doesn't matter if we stay with it forever and ever.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, those are some of the ideas that the ego tells us that, you know, we need to be in a certain thing, doing it a certain way, or else we're not measuring up or we're getting it wrong. But when you live in a different perspective in terms of allowing a divine consciousness to support you, it always will, no matter where you are. And I think when you're flying without a net and giving yourself permission to be your largest vision of yourself, wherever that happens to be, you're going to make a greater contribution. You're going to be happier. And, you know, money will always be there.
We'll have what we need. We will have enough. Yeah. You know, some people need a little more for whatever reason. Some people need a little less. But I believe as long as you're building relationships, helping others, growing and evolving, you're playing the energy game we talked about, right? And it leads to discovering your own intuitive skills and abilities. I didn't know that I would be able to do hands-on healing and mediumship when I was a kid, even though I was so sensitive. I mean, I didn't know that's where it would eventually lead me. I played the game of the practical world, fitting in to society and corporate life, you know, but ultimately something in me spoke, and I listened, and I followed, and I was ready to be consistent and take a risk. And that's what we're asking our listeners to do. Listen to yourself. Mm-hmm. Start to think of what it is you really need, and then work towards it. It just doesn't happen by thought. It happens towards consistent effort. Now, how has being psychic or intuitive helped you with these discoveries?
Well, they catapulted me into the world, of course, and I think in the business, when you are in this role, the more you can know, the more you can explain it to your clients, the better. And then but also in my own world, I wanted to know it for myself, but I also wanted to know it for my clients. But being able to see and have experienced the intangible, there wasn't a lot of doubt and fear or anything I had to overcome to give myself to the work or the principles.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned some common themes that most people are here to experience, and you use these mm-hmm. terms, and they're so accurate. Healer, mm-hmm. visionary inventor, creative mm-hmm. musicians, artists, mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, and comedians, and you're a comedian, victim, leader, scavenger. And each one of these themes that we play out in our life causes us to look deep within and to understand what it is that we really want to become, because they're all how can I say archetypes of our behavior, and mm-hmm. and when we learn to get beyond anything that's uncomfortable for us, we're going to go into a better state of being, living, loving, and being more compassionate to ourselves and others. Now, what is it you hope people or readers get from this book?
Well, my hope is that it fills in some of the blanks of the law of attraction, because even though The Secret, which is a fantastic book and movie, which opened the door in so many ways, it left a lot of questions. And so I'm hoping it fills in any of the blanks that people have about why they don't have what they want, what they need, or what they want.
I agree.
So I really try
I agree with you. The Secret left a lot of gaps. It was a lot of people mm-hmm. with a lot of ideas, but they weren't fully developed for me. Mm-hmm. And I think your book and my book, The Living Spirit, also answers how we found our way past some of the fears and limitations to actually implement it into our lives and to create what was best for ourselves and helped others, because energy flows from us, through us, it's all around us and out to others. And as we learn to use it in a more consistent and loving way, it improves everybody. So I think your book was hoping to show that death of the body is just a transition from one dimension to another, as my mm-hmm. book has hoped to do. And all mm-hmm. dimensions exist at the same time. And some mm-hmm. of us have bodies and some of us don't. But yeah. we're still alive, because everything in life is energy and connected. Yeah. So you showed that. And I hope
Thank you.
To begin to realize these are truisms. They're not make-believe.
Yeah.
We're not talking science fiction here. We're talking reality, and we're talking an understanding of universal energy. And I think your book did very well in showing that. So I want to thank you, Phyllis King, author of The Energy Abundance, for your dedicated and untiring search into metaphysical principles and into a higher awareness of consciousness and the possibilities for understanding both the spiritual and human condition, and to offer readers new insights and ways to create through their own thoughts and actions. And actions is a very important word. A healthy, happy, abundant life experience. For more information, go to PhyllisKing.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Phyllis and I have shared our awakening process and an understanding of universal energy as the source of life, and how our connection to this flow of life enables our human potential to grow and thrive through the many challenges in our physical life experiences, and also to create an abundance of joy and prosperity as a result of this higher awareness. We may master the art of receiving and giving love, release beliefs which no longer serve us, find and realize our life purpose, and connect to soulmate relationships. As Phyllis wrote, life is really a continuum. There is no beginning and end, just moments that help us define who we are to ourselves and continue to bring us closer to our truth. As you begin this journey of truth, know there is no end game, just an acceptance of learning to be in the now with peace. Phyllis and I would have you share in the positive and fulfilling aspects of your daily life by remembering to appreciate the people, opportunities and events that show you that we are connected to each other and to a force of continuous energy that truly has our best interests at heart. And at the end of the day, know you are never alone. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn more about energy, healing, spirituality, science, religion, and the arts. You may also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.